Hello, my name is Brian Ovechelsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today we're joined by Chad Wars and James Lewis from ASCP, or the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists, a nonprofit consisting of pharmacies and pharmacists managing medications for the elderly and medically complex. Chad is the organization's CEO and executive director, while James is a senior director of policy and advocacy. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
So today we're going to be discussing crucial updates to the Inflation Reduction Act rolling out this year and the key insights that pharmacies should take note of to stay financially sustainable throughout an uncertain time period today. So to start, can you just discuss for pharmacists and owners dispensing any of the 10 negotiated drugs, what was the day one reality of this rollout in 2026? Basically, was it a smooth transition or are we kind of seeing unintended consequences among pharmacy businesses?
I mean, I think anytime you're dealing with a significant change in your reimbursement structure, there's going to be hiccups and problems. I think for context, we were really looking at, you know, two potential catastrophes at the same time. One is related to the government-built data module and payment module that needed to be, needed to be working January 1st. And then the other was sort of a more predictive impact of the economic consequences of what IRA is doing to pharmacies that are highly leveraged with Medicare claims. So I can say from the technical aspect, catastrophe number one, if you will, it seems to be going okay. I mean, we have some normal hiccups of, you know, moving from last calendar year to this calendar year that sometimes happens with payers and insurers and their relationship with pharmacies. But generally, I think that piece of it is okay. Now, we're still a little early, so we haven't gotten to the point where we're seeing the effectuation payments come from the manufacturer yet. That'll be the next thing to monitor. But so far, so good, I think, from a technical perspective. I would say from an economic perspective, we don't anticipate that it's going to be any better than we thought. So we anticipate this is still going to be a significant impact to pharmacies that do a lot of these prescriptions in Medicare. We want to get sort of the hard data of that as this unfolds, but we do predict that we're going to see some significant issues with respect to how pharmacies are reimbursed with respect to these 10 drugs.
Awesome. Yeah, very well said. I think I appreciate you kind of laying the groundwork for kind of where we're at right now. So I want to talk about the MTF, which was kind of a big discussion toward the end of 2025. So under the new Medicare Transaction Facilitator or the MTF system, pharmacies often have to buy these drugs at a high price and wait for a rebate to hit the negotiated price. How is this buy high, sell low model affecting the financial stability of pharmacies right now?
I mean, it's having a huge impact in the sense of they have to float that cost, right? So that cost can range anywhere, you know, in a world previously, you know, a lot of the insurance companies, the PBMs, had moved very quickly to make, you know, sort of immediate approval payment and then immediate payment. And so while that side of the section continues, right, so you've got to handle the claim with the insurer, the CMS allows up to 7 days for the insurer to process that claim, right? So I've bought this drug from my wholesaler. I'm, you know, out $300 potentially or even more. You know, if there's no copay from the patient or a small copay, you know, whatever it is, I'm waiting for that money to be adjudicated by the plan. They have up to 7 days. Then that data is transferred to the manufacturer that has up to 14 days to pay. So just in what's allotted, there's 21 days. Plus, there seems to be a little bit of squish on that 14 days for up to 3 days for like the bank to actually make the payment. So, you know, if you're looking to buy low, sell high, right, like that's not good market economics for anybody. So, you know, our pharmacies are looking at floating that difference between what they paid for the medication and a medication that's already out in the community, no longer on their shelves, you know, up to 21 plus days. And your wholesaler wants paid after 14, right? So you're literally the entire cost of implementing the IRA is being borne by pharmacies. And I think that's the real unintended consequence of the Inflation Reduction Act and this program. Everyone, especially pharmacists, are in favor of lower drug prices, especially for older adults. But there was a way to build this system that did not balance really the cost of implementing the program on pharmacies. And unfortunately, both Congress and CMS, when given the chance to not do it that way, unfortunately chose, you know, the pharmacy continues to be, you know, the unintended victim and the unintended payer of this entire program. Even if it's just in float, there's a huge opportunity cost to losing that funding. Or if you do have to go out and get, you know, short-term loans, now you're paying interest, right? So the cost of this system's really, that's where the cost comes in, is the timeline of how long it takes. In addition, this system too, you know, there's no margin, right? You're only being reimbursed for the cost of the drug. So unless you've been successful in negotiating a dispensing fee with your, with the insurance company who's paying for this, you're really doing all of the work associated with getting that medication to the patient, ensuring it's the right therapy, ensuring it's not going to interfere with their other therapies, educating them on how to take it. You're doing all of that with no reimbursement for it. And, you know, for us in the long-term care setting, our cost to dispense any medication to a patient because of their high need is between $15 and $17. So every single one of these medications are now being dispensed in addition without, you know, really any margin associated with that drug to cover the cost that the pharmacy incurred in with dispensing it.
Awesome. Yeah, no, perfectly put. I think it's hard to hear that just another kind of event that's really impacting pharmacies and they kind of have to take the brunt of it, because like you said, like obviously we want to see people have better access to medications, but it's always got to impact someone a little bit more. So I kind of wanted to move aside from that a little bit to talk about kind of the insurers and then kind of wrap around to talk about a little bit more of looking ahead. But are you concerned that this push for lower prices might actually cause kind of a ripple effect and make insurers create more red tape for elderly patients and Medicare enrollees that need medications?
I mean, I think for sure, we're always worried about restricting access to medications. I think maybe the superpower of our older adult population is that they are so unique and they have so many conditions that affect whether or not a medication is going to work for them, that in some ways we have an advantage. There's a great quote from Star Wars where Princess Leia says to Darth Vader, you know, the tighter you squeeze your grip, the more star systems slip through your fingers. And I think there's an opportunity for pharmacy to be part of that. Hey, you know, you may want to use generic Xarelto because it's cheap, but there's a subset of patients that requires Eliquis, and we have to have access for that Eliquis. So you may not want to dispense it because it's a higher cost, but it's really what this person needs because of their renal function, because of their other drugs that they're taking. And we have to kind of, as pharmacists, go back and really advocate that patients get the right medication that they need and not be sort of forced to something that's just cheap from the insurance company's perspective.
Yeah, no, very well said. I think so many things within just this, you know, just this IRA, this bill, kind of encapsulates so many other things within pharmacy access, kind of patient insurance and all those different things. So obviously a lot of different important things to kind of keep in mind. Two more questions here. I think this has been a great conversation. Based on keeping up with crucial policy changes and their expertise in medication dispensing, obviously the role of the pharmacist is truly evolving. Are your members spending more time being financial navigators or consultants today, as opposed to kind of those general dispensers of medication and being those healthcare experts, kind of looking up at what your members, your pharmacists are really doing right now?
People are evolving to the role, and whether that is they need to expand staff or shift people's priorities. In long-term care, we tend to have sort of the consultant pharmacists who are doing the required medication reviews, and then depending on the size of the pharmacy, a different team is sort of involved in the dispensing of the medication. You're now seeing another person sort of emerge that's looking at, you know, the therapeutic interchange. What really are we doing? Are these facilities a facility that we can continue to serve, or we're simply just losing too much money on it? And, you know, that's unfortunately the nature of healthcare as a business. The more that it becomes a business, the less it becomes about healthcare. And the less time that providers, whether it be pharmacists or physicians, have to provide care, you know, every minute they're spending doing their books is time they're not spending with patients.
No, I think that's really well said, Jim, especially from the perspective of that kind of business comment. I mean, you're asking a pharmacy now that used to get, you know, submit a claim and get remittance on that claim with what they were going to get paid by the PBM or the plan. And then they would get that payment, and that would, you know, that would be the end of the claim from the pharmacy's perspective. We got what we were supposed to get, move on to the next. Now you've got this very complicated 21 to 24 day process where part of the claim has been addressed and then another part of the claim is coming in later. And you've got to track that claim, not only track it from the perspective of, is this a IRA negotiated drug? So does the payer have the claim on both ends, the manufacturer and the insurance company? But then do they pay correctly on their end? And does the ultimate, at the end of the day, is that original claim, was it paid properly? And that turns them into sort of these, you know, accounting, sort of financial, computer-oriented gurus that have to follow this claim around. And it definitely changes how much labor and intensity they put into that process. And it takes their attention away from other things.
Very well said. I think we've seen that kind of evolution of pharmacists having to become those, you know, those facilitators of kind of these administrative things. And with this IRA rolling out, it seems like it's only kind of making that even a little more difficult and uncertain for pharmacies and their businesses.
It's also, it's educating patients, educating caregivers, and then in the long-term care setting, it's educating that facility, the facility nurse as well. And I mean, there's so much misinformation out there about the IRA, and, you know, that interaction with your medication occurs with a pharmacist. So now pharmacists have to be an expert on all of this for multiple different audiences too.
Now, very well said, and obviously it's, they need to educate their patients, but also in the mix of doing all of these other things as pharmacists. So obviously it's difficult, but, you know, pharmacists have been so good at kind of meandering these challenges, and we definitely will keep an eye on it going ahead. So speaking of looking ahead, the list of negotiated drugs expands to 15 more next year and eventually moves into Part B drugs down the road. So obviously the provisions under the IRA aren't slowing down anytime soon. Based on what we've learned so far in 2026 and what's expected throughout the year, how successful do you think rolling out future IRA provisions will be?
Yeah, I mean, it's still hard to say, I think, at this point. I think there's going to be a lot of focus on how do manufacturers and pharmacies adapt to this new structure. I think for the foreseeable few years, you're going to see it implemented in a similar way that it was implemented this year. There's going to be, and I'll let Jim talk about this, some significant changes with respect to including Part B drugs that maybe insulate pharmacy a little bit from that standpoint. But I think it's going to be, how do we develop different and better relationships with payers, and how do we develop different and better relationships with manufacturers so that pharmacy can continue to receive a sustainable reimbursement so their business can survive. We can't be building a system where you have to do so much volume to make it because there's not enough reimbursement, because that only benefits large corporate giant pharmacies. And most people want to use their local pharmacy, the person that they trust, and there has to be room for that. So we'll see how it evolves. Every time we, you know, have a new drug that is implemented in IRA, it's a shot on pharmacy, either in cash flow or in reimbursement. So we have to be, you know, continuing to search for ways to alleviate that.
Yeah, and I think, as Chad mentioned, when you bring in the B drugs, the biggest complication is you now have another player, right? The pharmacy is dispensing that medication, potentially with the label, potentially, depending on the drug, non-patient specific, to the physician. What does that float look like? Are the physicians paying up front for those medications? You know, there's a million other of these questions of exactly how that financial component's going to look like. And it's complicated enough as it is with two MTFs, the pharmacy, the plan. We've got this Beacon app sitting in the middle between the manufacturers, then the MTFPM before it gets to your bank. Now we're adding yet another entity into this, another entity that, much like a pharmacy, is a provider. Focused on providing healthcare, not focused on billing and counting and making sure the books are right. This is going to get even more complicated, but I think at the end of the day, this is the future. The IRA is not going away. It saves way too much money to the federal government for it to go away. So this is the new reality. And as Chad said, we have to get smarter, faster, better, and more engaged because this is the reality. And then at least for the short term and medium term.
That was perfectly said, I think. I really appreciate you guys helping our audience kind of, you know, understand such uncertainty that's going on. Obviously, everyone will keep keeping their eyes on kind of how this evolves in the future. I appreciate you kind of answering some questions for the time being. So thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Happy to come back anytime, because this is going to continue to evolve. I can see that.
For sure. Yep. Thank you so much, guys.